We are on Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph, almost the bottom line, basically. 37a4. The last thing the Gemara was discussing, because in the Mishnah there was a din, that any mitzvah connected to the land only applies to Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvahs not connected to the land, on the person's body, that you're obligated no matter where you were. So the last thing the Gemara quoted, which is relevant for the upcoming Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel said, he argued against Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Shmuel said that any place where it says Moshav, when the Torah says you come to your dwelling place, it means after they conquered and after they lived, right? Which is 14 years. So Rabbi Akiva says, by Shabbos it also says Moshav Seichem, same word, and Shabbos is all over the place. So he says, yeah, but Shabbos is different because that you would learn no for sure was called from a Kavu Chaim. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. Michti, let's analyze this whole situation. Rabbi Shmuel Ahechakoi, when Rabbi Shmuel says his din that the Gemara brought before, that you only, when it says Moshev Seichem, it means after the Jews conquered the land and lived in the land. What din does that original Pasuk speak by? By Nesachim. Libations. Meaning like this. When they brought sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to have to pour wine on the Mizbeach together with the sacrifices. Okay? Sukkot, they poured water. But the whole year, they poured wine on the Mizbeach. Concerning pouring wine on the Mizbeach, the Torah uses the word Moshev Seichem. So over there, Rabbi Shmuel says a statement that whenever the Torah uses the word Moshev Seichem, it doesn't mean in the desert. It means after you come into Eretz Yisrael and after you inhabit the land. So the Gemara says, but over there it says, Bia Umeshev Ksibbuhu. But it says two things. Not only, Rabbi Shmuel said like this, whenever the Torah says Moshev, it means not in the desert. Only when you come into Eretz Yisrael and you live there. But the Gemara asked by Nesachim, which is the source of his din, it says the word coming and living. Ki savayu el adetz, when you will come to the land and you will dwell there. So how do you learn out all over Torah that whenever it says dwelling, it means only Eretz Yisrael? So he says, Hachi kama, this is what the Gemara means. Lelamed, it teaches us, shakom, malkum shenamber, bio meshav, any place in Teda, where it says coming and living, eina lachar yurushav, yeshiva, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. You're right. Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara changes the statement of Rabbi Shmuel. It's when the Torah says coming and Moshav, two things. Kisavayu ala oretz, and inhabit it, then you're right. It means after you conquer the land and after you live there. But otherwise, if it just says Moshav, it does not mean only in Eretz Yisrael. It could mean outside of Eretz Yisrael too. So the Gemara says, first of all, it doesn't make sense. If that's the case, Amalei Rabbi Kiva, and the Braisa said to Rabbi Shmuel, Shabbos Shenama by Meshavis. By Shabbos it says 74 on top. By Shabbos it says Meshvei Seichem, right? Rabbi Shmuel said a statement, when it says Meshvei Seichem, it means Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Kiva said, by Shabbos it says Meshvei Seichem, and it's not only in Eretz Yisrael, right? And he answered him, Shabbos is a Kavu Chaymer, but it doesn't make sense, the whole question. He should have answered Rabbi Kiva a different answer. By Shabbos, it doesn't say Bia and Meshav. It doesn't say coming into the land and living in the land. It just says Meshvi Seichem. The Gemara altered Rabbi Shmuel's din. That Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara says, maintains now, that when it says Bia and Meshav, coming into the land and inhabiting the land, then it only applies after you conquer the land. But if it doesn't say Bia, it just says Moshav, then it doesn't mean that. So what's Rabbi Kiva's question that by Shabbos it says Meshvei Seichem, but it doesn't say Kisavayu ala Oretz, it doesn't speak about coming into the land. So the Gemara said like this. Chada va'ed kamal. You're right, Rabbi Shmuel answered Rabbi Kiva two answers. Chada, one answer is, Ano biya umeshiv kamina. Rabbi Shmuel says like this. I say that in order for it to mean only in Israel, after the 14 years of conquering and inhabiting, is when it says Bia Emeshav, Ki Savayu Al Aretz, or B'chol Moshev Seichem, both. And secondly, he said, the Ka'amar that a Shabbos namer be Meshavis. This that by Shabbos it says the word Meshvei Seichem. That's a Kavachayim. But really, Rabbi Shmuel says there's two reasons why Shabbos is different. You know why Shabbos you have to keep all over the world? Because number one, it says only Meshvei Seichem, not Bia, not Kisavei Alaretz. Secondly, Shabbos is a Kavachayim. You know, it's stricter than all the mitzvahs.
What was
that? Huh? No, he said before. The Madach, here, if the easy mitzvahs are kept inside and outside of Israel, Shabbos, which is so strict, for sure is kept inside and outside. But the truth is, according to Rabbi Shmuel, if it says, Kisavayu, then it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, otherwise it applies all over the place. But the source of Rabbi Shmuel's din is the libations, the pouring the wine on the Mizbech. And the Gemara is going to explain now, they actually argue, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, if they poured wine on the sacrifices in the desert. Because Rabbi Shmuel says, no. Rabbi Shmuel says, by the pouring of wine, it says, Kisavayo la'aretz, Moshe Seichem. And then it only means after the 14 years that they conquered and divided the land. Okay, the Gemara says, no, but Micah Mefligi, so what are they arguing? They're arguing whether Bekirvo Nesachim Bemidbar Komifligi. They're arguing whether they brought the libations, meaning if people that brought a carbon in the Midbar, in the Mishkan, did they pour wine on the Mizbeach or not? Rabbi Shmuel says, no. They didn't bring it, because by libations the Torah says, Ki savayu el eretz meshvei seichem. You need both conditions. But Rabbi Kiva sav and Rabbi Kiva holds they did bring it.
In the desert?
Yeah.
What's that phrase again?
Pouring wine on the Mizbeach. Together with the Karbonis, right? We say Viniska Yayin Raviya Sahin in davening a lot of times, right? Viniska means the pouring of the wine. Whenever they brought a carbon, they had to pour wine on the Mizbeach.
Every carbon.
Yeah.
Just the Mizbeach alone, when it's empty, they pour it on there.
No, when they're together with the sacrifice.
Oh, I see. What was the purpose of making it cody?
And what was the purpose of sacrifices?
No, I mean just the wine by itself and the sacrifice, I understand.
Because wine is a holy thing. They sanctify the
Right.
Okay. Amr Abaya says like this. Hai Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, this Tana of Rabbi Shmuel that we just quoted, Mapich Me'idach Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, precludes and argues on another opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel says like this. Rabbi Shmuel said in another Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel said like this, Hoyel V'nemru Bias Pateira Stam. In many places in Torah it says, when you come to the land. And now, Uparat Ochakosib Be'echud Mehem, and one of the psukim says, it has to be Acha Yerisha V'Yerusha V'Yeshiva, meaning, it says, like he says, concerning a king, okay, the Jews had a mitzvah, when they came into the land, like the Rambam says, Sholosh mitzvahs in Stavu. The Jews were commanded three mitzvahs when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Appoint a king, wipe out a Malek, and build a Beis HaMikdash. These were the three mitzvahs that the Jews were commanded to do. Over there, the Torah says like this, not only Kisavayu, the Torah says, V'yirishta v'yashavtaba. You will come into the land, you will inherit the land, and you will conquer the land and inhabit the land. Okay? So he says like this, if the Torah always speaks about you will come to the land, and that's all the Torah says, and in one place the Torah explains it, then what does it mean coming into the land? Conquering it and inheriting it, living it, that teaches us, Av kol la'acha yerusha v'yeshiva. So this Rabbi Shmuel says an interesting din. Now, the Torah does that. you know, the Torah, as the Gemara says, the expression, Torah is poor in one place and rich in another. Okay? Sometimes the Torah says a very unclear statement, and from another pasuk, we understand the explanation of this pasuk. Okay? Now you can imagine, and we'll soon see in the Gemara, various different mitzvahs. From the time the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael until they conquered, it took 7 years, and it took them 7 years to divide the land. Okay, then after 7 years, everybody was living in the land. So there's a lot of mitzvahs. The Torah says you have to keep when you come to the land. Does that mean right away, or does it mean after 14 years? Now, normally the Torah just says the word, when you come to the land, do this. When you come to the land, do this. By appointing a king, the Torah says, when you come to the land, and you conquer the land, and inhabit the land, then appoint a king. So this Rabbi Shmuel says, that one place gives an explanation for all the other places. And therefore he says, anytime the Torah says, when you will come to the land, it automatically means conquering and inhabiting. But until then, you're not obligated in the mitzvah.
But they didn't appoint a king 14 years after.
400 years is more likely, huh?
No, Shlomo Melech was...
We're saying...
They didn't do it right away.
Why did it take them 7 years or 14 years to...
And then Hashem got angry at them when they wanted a king.
Well, because they wanted it for the wrong reasons. Why?
Yeah.
It took 7 nations to conquer. It was a...
No,
there were really 31 kings in Canaan. There were 7 nations, but there are 31 kings. It took them 7 years.
Right, the Israelis.
You also discover you don't want the land to be desolate because wild animals would come.
Yeah, that's what Hashem says. I'm not going to conquer it. The enemies are not going to run out quickly because then the animals will come in. It was a process. Hashem wanted 7 years to conquer it. And 7 years, you know, they did the miracles. It only took 7 years to divide something amongst Jews. It should take 700 years. It's a miracle. It took 7 years. But according to this, Rabbi Shmuel, it means that one time that the Torah says inhabit and conquer and inhabit, teaches us that with any mitzvah, that the Torah says when you come into the land, it means after 14 years. That's what that Rabbi Shmuel says. So he says, why does Artana disagree? Okay, V'idach Artana. Why does he say it's not true that only the mitzvahs that say Bia and Yeshiva are after 14 years? All the other mitzvahs, even though it says when you will come to the land, is right away. Because he says, Melech u'bikurim shnei ksuvim abarim ke'echad. Because by Melech and Bikurim, I'll explain this, these are the two mitzvahs that come, two psukim that come together. V'chol shnei ksuvim abarim ke'echad, ein melamdim. We learned this rule already many times in the Gemara. When the Torah says one pasuk with a din, we can learn it out for all other dinim. If the Torah picks two mitzvahs with the same din, that means, why is the Torah saying it twice?
Specific.
Because only these mitzvahs and nothing else. Okay, that's the point of the opinion. It says, two psukim that come together. Like it says, ein melamdin. You can't learn from any other din from these two. Twice in Chumash, the Torah says, you will come into the land, you will conquer it and inhabit it. Okay? One is by a melech, by appointing a king. The Torah says, you will come into the land, conquer it and inherit it. And by the mitzvah, bring in bikurim. And Parshas Kisavei, when the Torah says you have to bring the new fruits, says, V'ayu kisavei alas Hashem ha-shokel nesel ha-nachle v'yishto, v'yoshavto, v'yishto, v'yoshavto bo. Okay? Now, this Tana says, our Tana of Rabbi Shmuel, not the new one. Our Tana of Rabbi Shmuel says like this. Two places the Torah says, conquering and inhabiting. Which means, all the other times, no. All the other times, as soon as you come into the land, you're obligated in the mitzvah. Because why is the Torah saying these two? The other opinion of Rabbi Shmuel says no. And we'll soon see why. That all the mitzvahs that apply when you come to the land, means after the 14 years. The second Rabbi Shmuel, and there's an argument what the Rabbi Shmuel said between the students. The other opinion says no. There's two psukim telling me after the 14 years, which means all the other psukim is right away. So Gemara said, "V'idach, what does he hold?" He says like this: "Tzrich, I need king and I need bikurim." In other words, when is the rule that two psukim teach us only these two, nothing else? If I can learn out one from the other. But if I can't learn out one from the other, the Torah has to tell me these two. So therefore it doesn't teach me that all the other mitzvahs not. So he says, why do I need it? The ikos rachamana melech, if the Torah only said the din by a king, that virishta v'shaftabo, and it doesn't say by bikurim, I would think bikurim dukamisan el altar. I would think bikurim maybe you have to bring right away. Because what happened? The Jew moved into Eretz Yisrael right away. First you had a field. Shouldn't he bring Bikurim? If the Torah didn't say clearly by Bikurim after 14 years, I would think Bikurim should be right away. Because you're benefiting from the land. What's Bikurim? To say thank you to Hashem. So why that should be right away? V'i kosev Bikurim v'loi kosev melech. And if the Torah only would have written by Bikurim that it's after the 14 years and not by a king, Havamina melech the darki lichpesh. A king whose way to conquer. So as soon as he gets in the land, he has to do it. He has to bring it right away. But Bikurim, maybe not. V'idach, and so the other one, the other Tana says, Nichtav Rachmana Melech, let the king, let Hashem write the dinim of a king, that it's after 14 years, and I won't need Bikurim. Why? V'ano Amino, and I would say like this, what if a king who normally conquers right away, yet the Torah says you have to appoint him? In other words, the Gemara says maybe we need a king right away to help him conquer. Maybe a king because maybe after 14 years, after everybody settled, that's when you can say thank you. But a king maybe you need right away. Right? Because maybe a king you need to help conquer the land. So maybe Hashem is saying, listen guys, as soon as you get into Israel, get a king and help, he'll help you conquer the land.
Sure.
Yeah, but he didn't have a king. Yeshua didn't have a king, and he didn't have a leader, but not have a king. So he says, Ma melech delich beishlach Yehusha, if a king, that you need him to help you conquer the field. The Torah says you have to do it after 14 years. Bikurim lekoshkin, for sure bikurim. You should have to wait for after 14 years. Ve'idach, and then the Gemara just goes back to the other opinion. Ikosev hachi, if the Torah would have written only by a king, not migar to bikurim. Havamina mididava chalet, similar to the mitzvah of chalot, that you have to do it immediately. Because the Torah that says as soon as you come into the land. Kamash Malan, it teaches us no. So bottom line is like this. According to Rabbi Shmuel, there's two Rabbi Shmuels. Okay? One Rabbi Shmuel says, anytime it says you come into the land, it means after 14 years. For the first 14 years, you don't have to do any mitzvah. The other Rabbi Shmuel says, no. It's only by Bikurim and Melech. Those are the only two mitzvahs you have to wait 14 years. All the other mitzvahs, as soon as you come into the land, you have to do it. And that's basically the gist of the whole Gemara here. The Gemara just went back and forth to why each one disagrees with the next. But the bottom line of the whole Gemara is, the one opinion Rabbi Shmuel says, any mitzvah that's connected to Eretz Yisrael, you didn't have to do it for 14 years. And the other one says, as soon as you come in, you have to do it, except Bikurim and appointing a king. That you have to wait 14 years. Then there's another argument here between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva says they did not bring the wine pourings in the midbar, and Rabbi Shmuel says they did.
Because it said coming and
Yirishtav Yishavtav. Yirishtav Yishavtav. So the question is, does it mean all mitzvahs like that, or only those two psukim that the Torah says clearly that's what it is?
Did we use the same warning for putting on tefillin? And we talked about this last.
The Gemara is going to ask about the tefillin coming up.
Because according to Rabbi Ishmael, then they did not put tefillin in.
Oh, we'll see. I don't know. What?
I didn't get it. How this argument has to do with the. What we talk about? 14 days already passed.
No. The Gemara, because in the Mishnah, what did the Mishnah say? Any mitzvah connected to the land only applies in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah connected to the body applies outside. So then the Gemara got off.
Right.
And the Gemara says, okay, the mitzvahs dependent on in Eretz Yisrael, when did they start? Okay. Did they start right away? Or they started after 14 years? Now, one thing everybody agrees on, appointing a king and the mitzvah bikurim, the psukim say clearly after 14 years. Okay? All the other psukim that Torah speaks about, it's when you come into the land. So does that mean right away? Or does it mean after 14 years? One opinion, Rabbi Shmuel, says right away. One opinion says after 14 years. But that's how the Gemara got into it, because we're talking about the mitzvahs connected to the Eretz Yisrael only apply in Eretz Yisrael, except our law and Kalayim, like the Mishnah said, the exceptions. But otherwise, it's relevant either right away or after 14 years.
But by king, it wasn't obligatory to dafke make a king.
It took a long time, but they should have done it right away.
After 14 years, they were able to, but
they weren't obligated, not able to. They weren't obligated to do it for the first 14 years.
But they were commanded.
Eventually, they were commanded. But it had to be. But the difference is, it had to be done in a process. The three mitzvahs of going into Eretz Yisrael, appointing a king, conquering Amalek, and then build the Beis Hamikdash, had to be in that order.
After 14 years,
right? Finally, after they appointed the king Shaul, that's when Hashem said to Shaul, destroy Amalek, and he didn't, and he lost the kingdom because of that. And then David Amalek built the Beis Hamikdash. So it was actually it had to be in a proper order. The question is, they didn't appoint the king for a long, very, very long time afterwards.
If it was supposed to be after 14 years?
Not before, at least. Let's put it that way. Not before the 14 years. Okay, now the Gemara is going to say like this. The Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. You set a rule that when it says when you come to the land, it means in Eretz Yisrael. But there are a lot of mitzvahs that we do, tefillin, that the Torah says when you come to the land. So why do we do them outside of Eretz Yisrael if the Torah says when you come to the land? The Gemara says like this. Bahash to the Amrit, okay, page 74. Now that you say, okay, that mechayev es haguf, that mitzvahs that are obligated on the body of the person, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or not, so the Gemara says, "Meishav the cost of Rachmana Gabi Shabbos Lomeli." Why the Torah says like this? Leisavadu Eish b'chol mashveisechem b'yom haShabbos. Right? Why does the Torah say by Shabbos b'chol mashveisechem if it doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael? Right? Why is the Torah saying that word Meshvir Seichem?
What's the question?
It says, well, the Gemara's question is a little bit different. The Gemara said, any mitzvah that's on the body of a person applies in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? If that's the case, it's understood that Shabbos is an obligation on the person. The person has to keep Shabbos. And that means, where does he have to keep it? Everywhere. Because not in the land, it's on the person. Why does the Torah have to say the word B'chol Moshvei Seichem by Shabbos?
In your home.
No, B'chol Moshvei Seichem means anywhere you live.
Anywhere you live.
In Israel or outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
But that's self-understood. If you're saying a rule that any mitzvah connected to the body of the person is obligated in and out of Eretz Yisrael, so why does the Torah by Shabbos have to say all over the place? It's understood. So the Gemara says, it's rich, I need it. Because Sal Kadaita Chamina, I would think that Hurl bin Yonid the Meidus Ksiv, because it speaks about Shabbos. Okay? In the concept of Yom Tif, Tiboy Kiddush, I would think that Shabbos needs to be sanctified, Kimayadis, like the Chagim. Kamash Malan, the Torah says no. And this is a very interesting concept. Yom Tif is up to Beis Din. Right? Yom Tif is the day of the month. Every Yom Tif is the day of the month, except Shavuos. But every Yom Tif is the day of the month. Pesach is on the 15th of Nisan. Who makes 15th of Nisan? The court. Because when the court bill came to Rosh Chodesh, when they see the moon, right? So 15 days later is Pesach. Who makes Pesach? Beis Din. Right? So I would think Shabbos also has to be sanctified by Beis Din. Because Shabbos is mentioned together with Yom Tif. So I would think only Beis Din and Eretz Yisrael can make Shabbos Shabbos.
How? By Sunday saying Shabbos is Sunday?
Yeah. Because the invocation of the court, Bezum Penan, each Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Maybe.
Well, we already know what Shabbos.
In fact, we discussed this when we learned the Haggadah. When you daven on Shabbos, it's very interesting when you understand what you're saying. There's a lot of meaning in davening. And Shabbos, when you were daven Ma'ariv, Ma'ariv Shachris Musaf Mincha. Okay, what do we say? Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos. In the Yamida. Kiddush, right, Friday night, you say Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos. What do you say on Yom Tif? Mekadesh Yisrael Vahazmanim. He sanctifies Jews and the holiday. Right? Why don't we say Mekadesh Yisrael VaHashabbos? Should say. Just in Yom Tif, we say Mekadesh Yisrael VaHazmanim. We should say Mekadesh Yisrael VaHashabbos. Not only that was very interesting, when it's Shabbos and Yom Tif together, you say Mekadesh HaShabbos VaYisrael VaHazmanim. Like, you're leaving out explicitly the word Yisrael from Shabbos. So the halacha says why? So the Gemara says, and the halacha says very simple. Yom Tif is up to Beis Din. Shabbos is Mekatshe V'kayma. Shabbos is self-holy, like the Gemara is saying here. You don't need Beis Din to make a Shabbos. You don't need Beis Din to say, okay, today's Sunday. No, to proclaim, today's Sunday, so 7 days later is Shabbos. You don't do that. Shabbos is not up to the Jew. Shabbos, God makes holy. Yom Tif is up to the Jew. Because when Beis Din makes Rosh Chodesh, it could be one of 2 days. 10 days later is Yom Kippur, 15 days later is Sukkot, Pesach is the 15th of Nisan, and so on. Over there, it's up to the Jews to sanctify it. So therefore, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara's question is, why by Shabbos does it say B'chol Moshvei Seichem if it's a given? Because it's on the body. Why would they have to tell me all over? It's understood all over. So the answer is, because I would think Shabbos is different. Because I would think Shabbos is like Yom Tov. And you need only a Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael to make it Shabbos. So the Torah says no. B'chol Moshvei Seichem. Anywhere you live, it's not up to Beis Din. You don't need Beis Din to make Shabbos holy. Shabbos is self-holy. And therefore we say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos, Hashem sanctifies the Shabbos. Yom Tif, you say, Mekadesh Yisroel VaHazmanim. Because Yisroel makes the Chag. Shabbos is not up to the Jews.
This may be the reason why Yisroel VaHazmanim, not Hazmanim for Yisroel.
Right. Because the Jew makes the Zman.
So Hashem made the Jew holy enough to make the Zman holy. Yeah,
Chedesh Shazal Lachem. That's the whole greatness of a Jew.
To the extent
that Beis Din proclaiming Yom Tif causes God to do what they want, not what He wants.
So how do you fit the logic into the
Chol Moshvei Seichem? No, but Chol Moshvei Seichem means, so the Torah is telling us, anywhere you live, you have to keep Shabbos. Meaning it's not up to Beis Din. It's up to, because Beis Din's only in Eretz Yisrael.
Is this the replica from which you learn that anything that's on the Gavra applies?
No, the Gemara didn't learn that out from a pasuk. The Gemara just said a statement. Any mitzvah connected to the person is, because what does it have to do with Eretz Yisrael? The mitzvah is on the person. Whoever the person is, you have to do it.
Why does it say when you come to the land what the mitzvah of that is related to the person then?
Which mitzvah?
You said that it, when it's even related to the mitzvah of the person, like let's say tefillin, is related to the body, and yet it still says when you come to the land. Doesn't it say that statement?
But which mitzvah?
Of the tefillin.
Oh, the Gemara is going to talk about that soon. But the Gemara says that the angels come to God and said, "Hey, when's Rosh Hashanah? We need to know when to come to defend, to prosecute, you know, the good angels." Hashem says, "I don't know. Whenever the court makes it, we'll come. Whenever they invite us, so to speak, we'll come." But it's a very interesting din at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Mamish, the first page of Shulchan Aruch, Altrebbe says an interesting. He asks an interesting question. And it's a halacha question, but he answers it according to Kabbalah. Over there he speaks about, you know, midnight, taking chatzos, you sit on the floor and you lament over the base of Migdash, or Yamta, whatever. So he asks the question, if chatzos, let's say midnight is an auspicious time, but in California midnight is 3 o'clock in New York and 10 o'clock in the morning in Israel, and in Australia it's 17 hours ahead, so when is the real midnight? Or like, for instance, we know that on Yom Tov, the days are holier. Right? Yom Tov is a holier day. The question is, when it's Yom Tov here in Australia, it's already after Yom Tov. And New York is 3 hours ahead, Israel's 10 hours ahead. You know, like, when is the real Yom Tov?
Israel.
No. So how could it be holy here? No, the answer is very interesting. He says, the Kedusha that Hashem gives to the world on Yom Tov is above time and place. It's infinite spiritual. Therefore, whenever the place is Shabbos, that's when the Kedusha comes in this place. It's a level of Kedusha which is not connected necessarily to time and place. It's like I said before, when you're invited, that's when we come. The place is Shabbos, it invites us, then we come down. A different place is not Shabbos, we weren't invited there yet. So we're not coming. When it's invited there, we're going to come down for Shabbos, the Yom Tov there. Because it says, he brings up from Kabbalah, that the Kedusha of Shabbos and Yom Tov is higher than time and place. So whenever the place makes that time, it comes there. But it's not dependent on anything else.
Is it for Hashem? It could be here, and then 3 hours later it could be in New York, and the other way around.
Yeah, it's convenient.
Like the engineer says,
not as
that, it's dynamic.
Yeah. How does Eliyahu come to all the bits at the same time? How does he do it?
What if two of them are at the same time?
Yeah, I'm saying if two are at the same time. You never have in a city two bits at the same time around the world. There's a story in the Zohar that Eliyahu Navi used to come to the Idra. Rashbi, Rav Shimon Yochai had an Idra, was a yeshiva in the mountains of Tzfas. It's called the Idra. There's Idra Rabba and Idra Zutar, the big one and the little one. And Eliyahu HaNavi used to come to the Idra. Don't ask me how, what, when, but Eliyahu HaNavi used to come to Rashbi's yeshiva. And one day Eliyahu HaNavi didn't come. He missed class. So he came the next day. They asked him, "Where were you?" The Eliyahu HaNavi, "Where were you?" So he says, Rav Amnuna Sava, the old Rav Amnuna, was one of the biggest mekubalim of Shimon Yochai's time, was in trouble, and I needed to help him, and I can't be in two places at the same time. That's the story in the Zohar. So the Maimonim Chassidus ask, "What do you mean? Eliyahu HaNavi can't be in two places? He comes to have Seder, he comes to have Bris. How can you say he can't be in two places at the same time?" So Chassidus answers that Eliyahu HaNavi could be in many places at the same time when he doesn't come into a body. When Eliyahu Navi is the Malach HaBris, a Malach is not restricted in time and place. So Malach, as Eliyahu Navi, is a Malach, could be in 100,000 places at the same time. But the Sefer of Amnon HaSofer says he had to dress himself into a body. He had to go into a body, for whatever reason the mission was to Sefer of Amnon HaSofer. Once he's in the body, he's limited and he can't be two places at the same time.
So that proves that when he was by Vashri, he was also in the body.
Huh?
Yeah.
No, it could be that even as a Malach he can't come, because his whole essence is limited in the body.
So but the Bris, it means that to learn with the Rashbi and the guys, he was looking.
Was he in a body then? Trust me.
I know you were not there. I know you were not there.
I wasn't there, and even if I was there, I wouldn't be in that yeshiva. And I would, even if I would be sitting there, I still wouldn't know what's going on.
Oh, there
you read a lot in the
Gemara. No. What?
You read a lot of places in the Gemara that Eliyahu came and talked to the Rebbe. So they were in person.
Sometimes they were in a person, sometimes they weren't. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. By not eating certain fats of the animal and eating blood, the Torah also says the word when you will come to the land. No, he says, Chukas Eilem Luderei Seichem, B'chol Moshvei Seichem, says like this. And then the Torah says, Kolchele V'dam Leisechelum. There's a pasuk in Vayikra, it says like this. This is a din for all generations, wherever you live, you cannot eat blood or fats of the animal. So the question is, if the mitzvah on the body, in any way applies all over the place, why does the Torah have to say in all your dwelling places? What, again, even without that, we would know it means all over. So the Gemara says, because Sa'uka died the Chamina, without that pasuk, I would think like this. This pasuk about not eating fat or blood is the middle of all the karbanis. So I would think, bisman the ika karban, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when you had to bring a karban, then chelev adam, nitzer chelev adam, blood and fats are forbidden. But bisman the lack of karban, but I would think maybe when there's no sacrifices, so maybe it would be kosher to eat it. So the Torah says no. Meaning like this, by blood and fats, the Torah has to tell me anytime you're not allowed to eat it. Because I would think blood and fats are only connected during the time of sacrifices. When you are bringing sacrifices on the Mizbeach, blood and fats and everything, then you're not allowed to eat blood.
The fats, but the blood is specifically says you should.
When?
The blood says it because the life is in that blood.
Yeah, but that, but the pasuk says, in all your dwelling places you're not allowed to eat blood. So the Gemara says, even without the pasuk, I would know it's all over. Why does the Torah have to say, in all your dwelling places? Because I would think that blood and fats only apply when there's a Beis HaMikdash with korbanos. Then you're not allowed to eat it. But now there's no Beis HaMikdash. Maybe you could. So the Torah says, no. Anywhere you live, you can't eat blood and fats and all that.
The mitzvah of not drinking blood is mentioned three times, huh? And it says it's independent of any relevance to Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah, but the fact that one of the psukim talks about the korbanos in the same thing, I would... What?
The difference between different fats. We're not different.
Yeah, there's chelev and there's shumen. Different parts of the animal you can't eat. That's why it's called trebering. It's in Farsi also, no, it's trebering.
We call it pee, the chelev.
Okay, whatever. They have to cut it out. You can't eat it. It's straight.
The quality is different.
It's Iker. Different. Iker is taking out the veins and the fats, all that. But, there's certain fats you're allowed to eat, certain fats you're not allowed to eat.
The quality of these two fats are different?
I don't know. Not a butcher.
Is it differentiable, no?
But the
it depends where they are in the animal.
Specifically, the burned on the mizbeach, isn't that one of the reasons we don't eat that fat?
The Gemara says, I would think that's the reason, that only when there's korbanos. But the Torah says, no, even if there's no korbanos, there's nothing to do with korbanos. You can't eat it ever.
But when they say they burn the fat, which fat is it? Is that the specific fat that we're not allowed to eat?
Yeah. Okay, now the Gemara asks a different question. Similar question, but different. So by eating matz and maror, the Torah says, in all your dwelling places you should eat matz and maror. Again, why do I need the order? It's understood. Why should Matzah and Marah only be in Eretz Yisrael? It's understood in B'chol Meshvei Seichem. So Marah says, Meshiv the Kasar Rachman Agabi Matzah Marah. It says, Lamali, why do I need it? Okay, so he says, it's the I need it. Sal Kodai Techamina. I would think, because when by Matzah and Marah, what does the Torah say? Al Matzahs Umreidim Yechluhu. You should eat the Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb, together with Matzah and Marah. So I would think, when do you need to eat Matzah and Marah? Only when there's a Korban Pesach. But if there's no Korban Pesach, there's no Beis HaMikdash, I would think you're allowed to eat it. So it says, I would only think, Bizman de Ika Pesach in, that only in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that's when you have to eat Matzah and Marah. Bizman de Laka Pesach Loi, but when there's no Korban Pesach, I would think you don't have to eat Matzah and Marah. Kamashma says you do. But there's an Tesis over here, it's a very interesting question, Tesis has a tema, because the Tesis says, the Gemara in Psachim learns, how do you know you have to eat Matzah every year? Maybe Taka only have Matzah Merim Yechlu. The Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, B'chol Meshvei Seichem, Teichlu Matzis. So Tesis says, what's the Gemara's question? What's the Gemara's question? Why you need it? That's the Pasuk that teaches me, Taka, that Matzah is not only in able to get with the Korban Pesach. In other words, like this. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they did three things. And a lot of things. But they brought a Korban Pesach, they ate Matzah, and they ate Marah. Okay? Now, those three in the time of the Beis HaMikdash were biblical mitzvahs. The Torah says, Al Matzahs Umreirim Yechluhum. Okay? Today, Marah is rabbinic.
Why?
Because the only mention of Marah, of eating Marah, in the Torah, is al Pesach u'marar yachluhu. That's it. The mitzvah of eating marah is mentioned once, only in reference to the Korban Pesach.
In connection to.
No, together with, eating it together with the Korban Pesach. Matzah, the Torah says, bo'er of teichlu matzah is b'chol meshvei seichem. The Torah doesn't say any word again about marah. But matzah, there's a separate mitzvah in the Torah, eat matzah. Right? So Tesis asked, it doesn't make sense, because that's the pasuk that teaches us matzah is minatayna, marah isn't. Marah today is only rabbinic because we don't have a Korban Pesach. And the only mention of marah is in reference to the Korban Pesach. But matzah, the pasuk b'chol meshvei seichem is the pasuk that says you need to eat matzah. So what's the Gemara's question? So Tesis, could be they had a different opinion, whatever.
So
that they had they learned it out from the pasuk bad of Teichel Matzah. They learned it out from a different pasuk, so they wouldn't need this one. Now the Gemara asks a different question. Bia the kasher achmana gabi tefillin or better chamer lomeli. Okay, like you said, when it comes to tefillin, the Torah says in Parshas Bay, what we say in Rabbeinu Tkadishi Kol Bochor, v'haya ki savaya la'aretz, you should put on tefillin and do the firstborn donkey. Okay? So the question is...
Redeem it.
So the question is, now the Gemara is asking like a reverse. If tefillin is a mitzvah on the body that applies all over the world, so why does the Torah say about tefillin when you come into the land? It's all over the world, so why does the Torah say when you come into the land... What does the Torah say that for? So you have to do it all over the place. So he says like this. This is because Rabbi Shmuel teaches us this din. What does he say? I say mitzvah zu, what the Torah says like this. Do the mitzvah of sanctifying the firstborn, you know, the donkey, in order to come to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, it doesn't mean ki savayalas, when you come to the land, do the mitzvah.
Prior.
The pasuk is saying, you know why you're going to merit to come into the land? Because you're going to keep this mitzvah.
Not just that, the
first. Yeah, but the first one mentioned is Petach Hamad.
It almost sounds like when you just get out of Mitzrayim, you do it in the desert. And then you do it there, then you're getting. Isn't it that way?
No, the question is, like we learned last time, did they put tefillin on in the desert or not?
According to this, they did.
Or according to this?
Well, at least Petach Hamar did it.
Well, it's together.
Yeah, yeah. It seems that they did.
We should be showing appreciation to the donkey.
Yeah,
brought all our wealth out.
Yeah, Chamer has to do with Mashiach and Avraham Avinu and Bill and all those famous donkeys. From here, it implies that they did it, Taka, even before. And the Torah doesn't mean when you come into the land, put on tefillin. It means you'll merit to come into the land because you're going to be doing Pat Chamer and the firstborn and the mitzvah of tefillin.
Pat Chamer is not just firstborn of a donkey, it's firstborn of everything.
No, Petach Hamor you have to redeem for a sheep.
It's only Petach Hamor?
Petach Hamor Tifta Biser.
What about your own human Petach
Hamor? That you redeem for a donkey. No, all the firstborn. What?
That we learn from a different pasuk.
Yeah. B'chor B'nechad Tifta. It's in the same paragraph, but it's not in the same pasuk.
So you don't have to redeem all the firstborn of every animal you own. Only donkey.
No.
You do.
Yeah.
Donkey is used as a replica. For all animals.
Donkey has
a no. Yeah.
Donkey has a different.
Say that.
That's all.
The donkey is single out because it's
if you own a camel.
If you don't,
donkey the firstborn is the Rolls Royce.
No, only. No. The only trait for animal that you have to redeem is a chamor, a char.
And the other animals are only.
But all the other animals are only kosher animals. Sounds like this.
What's the logic?
It talks there, Sakosif. Here. Bahaya kiviyacha. Hashem, when Hashem will bring you to the land of Canaanite that He swore to you, va'avarta kopet erachem l'Hashem. You should give all the firstborn animals of the offspring, chopat shaga behema, and any of the firstborn of the animals, which will be male, you have to give to Hashem. Then it says, chopat chamar tifda b'seh, any firstborn donkey you have to redeem for a sheep, and if not, you have to cut it off, chopat adam b'fenach tifda, you have to redeem all the firstborns. Okay? And then it goes into the part of Hoyaloisa Yotcha. So in this parsha, the Torah begins, v'hoya kiviyacha. Right? The Torah says, when you come into the land, you need to do these mitzvahs. Firstborn animals, firstborn donkeys, firstborn people, mitzvah b'chor, and then the mitzvah of tefillin. Right? So the Gemara asks, if all these mitzvahs apply all over the place, why is the Torah over here saying the word kiviyacha? Because it doesn't apply to Eretz Yisrael. Right? So the Gemara answers, it doesn't mean when you come, it means, in the merit of doing these mitzvahs, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Right? In fact, we mentioned last week, there was a Petach Hamor in America not long ago.
Why does the Gemara deviate from answering the same type of answer you gave before?
That what?
That it's teaching you to do it all over the world. Anywhere you are.
No, but it's a mitzvah on the body, why should it only apply to Eretz Yisrael?
So for Pesach, it was a different reason.
Right.
For Shabbos, it was a different reason.
In fact, he brings out from the Gemara Becheres that he pleased even out even before the Jews entered it. The Gemara says that they kept the mitzvah of Pinyan Bechor. They kept it even in the desert. Because the Jews walked out of Egypt with the animals, right? So if an animal had a firstborn in the desert, they had to have a Bechor, you know, to bring it on the Mizbeach, whatever.
And from the grammar, we see that it's a male. Right?
Only male.
Oh.
No, it says Kol Bechor Hazuchorim.
Oh, it says
Zuchorim? By the animal, it says Hashiyilocha Hazuchorim. The Torah says clearly only the firstborns.
But it doesn't say Moshvotechen, right?
No, but it says Kiviyach Hashem Alak as a Kanani. Nothing, I'm just asking this in technical language. If they kept the mitzvah before, why is the Torah saying when you come to Eretz Yisrael? So my answer is, it doesn't mean when you come, it means you're going to come in this merit.
Why don't we say that for Pesach?
The what?
For keeping Pesach, you merit to come to Eretz Yisrael, because the same language was used for a lot of other things.
Doesn't say when you
no,
come.
It doesn't. the Korban Pesach
for Nesachim, it
says. By Nesachim. But over there, the Gemara, well, it depends if they did it in the Midbar or not. According to Rabbi Shmuel, that they did not. Rabbi Kiva said they did. Rabbi Shmuel said they didn't, so then you can't say that's what it means. And the merit that the you can't have the merit after
you. There's nothing else that says Kitaro.
Huh? In fact, Rabbi Shmuel here, the same Rabbi Shmuel is the one that says here, in the merit you'll go in. But he also said in the Midbar they didn't do the Nesachim. So it couldn't mean anything. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. Dwelling doesn't mean any place before conquering Eretz Yisrael, after conquering Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says like this. Bishtaim elamandi yomar, it's good according to the opinion that says that kol makom meishav means kol makom shatim yeshem mashma, anywhere you live, not only in Eretz Yisrael, anywhere you live, haino dechsiv, this is a understood what the Pasuk says, like this. Vayachlu me'avur ha'aretz mimachas ha'pesach. They ate from the produce of the land the day after Pesach. Okay? Meaning the new grain they ate, like we learned last time, Chodosh is on the 16th day of Pesach, of Nisan. Mimachas ha'pesach ochol. So then they ate it the day after Pesach. Mikara le'ochol. But before that they didn't eat it. Ama you see, Akriv Eimer, they brought the carbon Eimer, and then they ate it. Now this Pasuk is speaking as soon as they came into Eretz Yisrael. Okay? The Pasuk says like this, when Yeshua brought the Jews into Eretz Yisrael, and the second day of Pesach, they eat the new crop. Right? Which means they brought the carbon, and right away they ate the new tvor. Right? Now, does that mean after 14 years? No, they did it right away. That means they did those mitzvahs right away, not after 14 years. So he says, Elaman di Omar Acha Yerusha V'Yeshiva, but according to the opinion that says that the mitzvahs, the carbon Eimer, and all those mitzvahs didn't apply until after 14 years, Nechol Alta, why didn't they eat it right away? Why did they have to wait for the second day of Pesach? I was asking a very simple question. By the carbon Eimer, it says, or about Chodosh, not eating the new grain, it says when you come to the land. Now, according to the opinion that says, coming to the land means after 14 years, that's when you're obligated in the mitzvah, not before. Why in the world did they have to wait for the second day of Pesach, the Pasuk says in Yeshua, to eat the new grain? They could have eaten it right away. There was no mitzvah to bring the carbon Eimer for 14 years, so they could eat right away. Why does the Pasuk say they ate the new grain on the second day of Pesach? Why? So if you're telling me they had the obligation right away as soon as they came into the land, okay, so right away they brought the carbon, then they were able to eat the new grain. Without it, they wouldn't be able to. But if you hold the mitzvah didn't apply for 14 years, why did they have to wait for the second day of Pesach to eat the grain? They could eat right away. Because they didn't have the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, not that they weren't allowed to, they didn't need to. And this is a very interesting Gemara, it's a very famous Gemara. Le'avet Tzricha, we don't need it. Not, they didn't need to eat the new grain, because they still had the mun. The mun finished on the first day of Pesach, the Gemara is going to say. And that's why they needed to eat the new grain. When they eat the new grain, second day of Pesach. Not because they needed to bring the carbon Eimer. That mitzvah didn't start for 14 years. Why did they wait for the second day of Pesach to eat the new grain? Because they didn't need it before. They had that food in the freezer, in the mun.
This is when they came into the land?
No, the Pesach says like this. It says in the Pasuk, the Jews ate the mun for 40 years. Ad Beria Mel Adis Neshavas, until they came into the land of Eretz Yisrael.
Until they come into the border.
The border, right. Now, Esamon Achlu, they ate the mon, Ad Beria Mel Ksei Eretz Canaan, the Pasuk says. That they ate it until they came into Eretz Yisrael, right? Now. Ksei Eretz Canaan. So the question is, what does it mean? One pasuk says ad bayam ledetz nishavos until they came into the actual land, not to the border. That means they actually came into the land. But so you can't say that because it says oksei edetz kanan, because it says to the border. So the one pasuk says they ate it until the border. Another pasuk they said they ate the man until they came into Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says, which one is it? Is it the border, or is it inside the land? Which one is it? Okay, he said, how could it be? He says, well, like this. B'shiva ba'adr meis meisha. Meisha Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar. We know, right? U'ma'pasik man leirid. When Meisha Rabbeinu died, the man stopped. So what did they eat? Well, you mistapkim miman shebechlehem. And the Gemara says, they had the man left over until the 16th of Nisan.
It lasted.
Miraculous. Normally the month spoiled the next day, right? Mm-hmm. Here, Meisha Beno passed away the 7th of Nisan.
Adar.
So for a month and 10 days, they had the month still left over for Meisha Rabbeinu. So Gemara says, you're asking me, why did they have to wait for the second day of Pesach to eat the new grain? Very simple. Until then, they had the month. Did they have to bring the carbon? I mean, no, that was for 14 years later. The other opinion says no. They had to wait to the second day of Pesach because they had to bring the carbon.
Is it purely coincidental that they had the dafke till the first day of Pesach and then the mitzvah of carbon Pesach, not of the grain, starts always on the second of Pesach? So the first year worked perfectly. And then when it came on par with schedule of bringing the korban,
well, they bring down over here, the Rishonim bring down a very interesting thing. They had to eat matzah. Matzah has to be made from wheat. They couldn't be ate to the midst of matzah with the mun. So obviously, the Ritva writes, they had the mun they had until the second day of Pesach. They kept one day used, one of Pesach, remember. So, but he brings down. Apparently, though, you must say, according to this view, that the Jews did indeed eat a minimal amount of grain on the previous night to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah. Matzah must be made specifically from one of the fine grains. However, the rest of the night and the following day, they continued to subsist on the mon until the supply was deleted. Depleted.
Which is not chametz.
Huh?
Which is not chametz.
They didn't have
it in the second, third
day. But he brings down at the bottom, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that Chodesh began as soon as they came into Eretz Yisrael. So how did they eat matzah and Pesach? They couldn't. There was no kosher matzah to eat, so they didn't. Because they couldn't eat the new grain until the second day of Pesach. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, they didn't eat matzah that year.
First day of Pesach?
First day of Pesach. They could bake on Yom Tov, but you can't eat the new grain until after the second day.